reason why your roast burns, even though I may be roasting. Just say that. Put it out there. But I feel very limited in my space today, so if you hear me kick something or that this falls over, don't be alarmed. But I've always told everybody the best way to shut a preacher up is tie his hands down. So my hands aren't tied, so we're good. But let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the sitting throne of grace. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so grateful that we have the freedom that we have in this country to be able to take the youngsters and be able to teach them the truth of your word. Lord, there are places in our world today that that's not allowed. There are places in our world that would take that and just, man, martyrdom. And God, I just pray that we continue to have that freedom. As fast as our world is going in a direction that we would not want it to go, we know that it is all held in your hand. And we know that you are sustaining and using whatever means you want to bring your plan into fruition. And God, we're not going to understand it. We're not going to many times agree with it. But God, we know that we can trust your hand because we can trust your heart. And God, I pray as we just study today that we continue to have an understanding about that truth of who you are today. God, you thank you. We love you. We praise you in your son's name. Amen. This morning as we begin, again, this got to go. That ain't going to work. All right. I ain't guaranteeing I can read it this far away, but we're all right. When you and I realize that the nativity scene, that is something in my younger days that almost every house had one in the yard. I mean, the nativity scene was in all the public places and all those areas where we visited and went, and it was a big deal. But now today, you don't see it that much. You don't see it that often. And so the last 3 weeks, we've been gearing up to this evening, showing the movie, Why the Nativity. And so we first looked at basically why he came or why he needed to come as a babe. We looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, and today we're going to get into a section of scripture that's really going to, I think, put it into a finality. Because there is no greater truth that you and I could ever speak than if he would not have came, we would never go. There is no heaven for anyone who doesn't know Christ. Without him coming, he was the bridge. We can't have salvation. We can't have eternal life without the babe and the cross. And actually, this is a tremendous holiday. I love this holiday. You know why? This is the holiday of hope. Because without him coming as a babe in a manger, we have no hope. We have no hope, and we would, as Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would not have you be ignorant, brethren, about those who have gone asleep, that you grieve, but not grieve as those with no hope. Do you realize we'd grieve the same? There'd be no separation between how we think and how we feel and what our future plans are. We have no difference than what the world has. And when I mention world, I mean those who don't know Christ. So are you hopeful this morning? Man, how can you be hopeful and look like that? Just wondering. I don't know. Maybe you practice that in the front of the mirror. Listen, there's a hope out there that ought to put a smile on your face because you got a joy in your heart. You got something going on in here that has to be let out. The apostle said, listen, I can't help but preach Christ. I can't help but tell you about him. Don't tell me I can. I can't help but do it. You ought to have a smile on your face simply because a babe came in a manger so that he may die a man and be our Savior. Man, that's huge. And I'll tell you what, that's what gets me excited to know that no matter what this world looks like, no matter what is going on, I have hope. I have hope because I have a God who said, I have sent you the Savior. And because we have that Savior, we're going to look into this morning as we see the glory, as we study it together. as we understand this, again, we're going to go through a couple different texts, a couple different areas, and I mentioned in the onset, I'm out of my norm. I don't usually preach topical messages. I don't like to jump around too much, but I like to just exegete the scriptures and share it. So we're going to do a little bit all of that today. But when you look at this, the first thing, why call him Savior? Why should we call him Savior? What is it about him that we call Savior? The glory of God's promise of a Savior. One of the greatest things is Luke, turn your Bibles if you would please. I know I usually don't put the scripture up on the screen, but it fit well with where we were headed in all the directions. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, this again is the promise, the Savior that we have. In Luke 2:11, looking again at verse 10 and 11 of the chapter, let me get there with you. It simply states, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Listen, the Bible is full of God's promises, isn't it? We got all kind of promises from God that he's going to be take care of us, that he's going to be there. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We've got promises of God that says that we will continue to be okay. We've got promises of God who's saying, listen, I will not tempt you more than you can bear. I question that one. Sometimes he stretches that line, I'm telling you. And only by God's grace the line doesn't break. By his mercies, we are not consumed. They're fresh every morning. We have so many promises from God that speak how we are able to get through this world. But this is the promise of God, how we get out of this world. You see, I joke around with a lot of people and say, you know what? My retirement, I can't even tell you how much I got in my account. It's huge. I am so rich. Because my retirement is out of this world. It's not in this world. I ain't got nothing here. My retirement's out of this world. And that's where our retirement needs to be. We need to be storing up, as scripture says. Storing up in heaven where rust can't get it. Moths can't get it. Men can't take it. The market won't fall. We need to be storing up things in heaven. Of all the promises we have a Savior, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord. As we continue with this understanding, the promise of a Savior is where we want to look at. And again, how important it is to understand that for unto us a child is born. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, again, a very familiar text, a very familiar verse. It's probably on most of the cards that you will get this Christmas. It is that big of a verse. But in Isaiah 9, 6, it states very clearly, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Do you understand all that? Do you really understand all that was being prophesied at this time? You see, we take that verse and we know that a child is born unto us. But what we want to look at this morning, again, this is where we're going to start getting into it. The coming Messiah, okay? There is one prophesied. Now again, let's set the context. Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel. So the nation of Israel got this long before you and I were on scene. Long before Gentiles were understood to be a part of this. So the Israelites would have looked at this, they would have understood this and said, there is a coming Messiah for us, the nation of Israel. Now I'm not, right now it's just about them because that's what the context says. We're not included in that right now. We will be, but we're not yet. So I'm going to look at these three things a little bit. First of all, he was born a child, a son born to us. And what they're going to understand is that there is going to be a son born in the line of Israel for Israel to do something unbelievably for them. He is going to be their Savior. Do you think at this point in time Israel thought they needed a Savior? Think about that. Because they were already the chosen, right? They were the chosen nation. They were already the group of people that God said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my examples. And he gave them a sacrificial system. Read the book of Leviticus. It was the tribe of Levi. It was the tribe of the Levites. They were the priests. All the priests in the nation of Israel from the beginning to the end are coming out of that error. So he gave them. So they're doing their sacrifices. They're doing their deal. They're doing everything. And they're like, wow, that's great. But they weren't there yet. Because we know that going into the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, what were they doing? They were still doing the sacrifices. They still had the Holy of Holies. They still had the veil separating the courts, the temple. They still were practicing thousands of years later what the established sacrificial system that God gave them. So all the way up into the babe born in Bethlehem, they were still practicing their rituals and their rites. That's why Christ coming on scene and them preaching a different message, like, you can't do that. That's blasphemy. Is that not what they used to get him crucified? Blaspheme. Because it went against their whole system. And so he was born a son. He's born a son to Israel. And so the second thing we find, he will rule as a king. The king that he will be when he comes down in the millennial reign. This third thing we find is his character. Now his character is listed there in that verse quite clearly. He's wonderful. Now, you and I would take that as wonderful, but this Hebrew word in Isaiah simply means it's unbelievable, unspeakable. We don't have words for it. That's how wonderful he is. It is an unbelievable wonder of who he is. And listen, you've seen the pictures, right, of what Christ looks like? How many of you want to agree with me that it's not really probably true? We don't know what Christ looks like. We take men of that old era. We take men of that era of Jewish belief, and we sort of put it together, and boy, this is Christ. But you know, there are so many people in our world today that actually worship the picture of Christ, and they miss Christ. They're all about the picture. They're all about the cross, and they're all about other things. He's going to be wonderful. Words you and I can't think. Colossians 3 says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for them who love him. We're not going to know. When I say wonderful, think of the greatest thing in your eyes have ever laid eyes on. The greatest thing that you've ever witnessed in this world of creation. The beauty. I'll let you in a little bit. You know, I like to get on the TV a little bit, and I'll go to YouTube. And I'll put in drone TV. It is amazing. I sit in my living room and I go to Germany. I go to France. I go to the Rockies. I see the upper view looking down. You know what it does for me? I get to see God's view. I get to see how God views his beauty and his creation. And it really gets me excited to know that God created for you and I some absolute wonderful things in this earth. Nothing's going to compare to that wonder. We don't even understand it. The second thing, he's going to be a counselor. Listen, people are going to listen to him. Go figure. In the world we live, do they listen to God now? Do they listen to Christ? No. Listen, they're going to listen to him when he comes. And that in my world that I live in is it's there, but it's not. It's not in the volume that it's going to be there, because everyone will listen to him. Then, mighty God, his uncomparable, his mighty, his ability to accomplish what he states. Now, I think if I would take a survey today, every one of us would agree that he's a big God, right? Okay, I got one amen, and I don't know what language that is, but amen means that you are in agreement with what I just said. I don't know what that is. All right, so amen's good. He is a big God, he is a mighty God, and is he not carrying out his plan that he has set before the foundation of the world? This is your opportunity to say amen. All right, thank you. We can work together here, okay? All righty. But you know what? We don't live like we really believe that. Do we? How do we know that? Well, because we worry too much. We try to fix things too much. We try to tell God in our prayer life what we think he should do. The best thing for me, God, is for you to do this. And I can just picture God up there looking at me and saying, really? Seriously? You little peon thing are going to tell me? But we do all the time. But here, when this happens, everyone is going to listen and live like they believe he's their counselor. He's the one giving him the words. He's the one that's going to tell them what right and wrong and how to live and how to do it. And they're going to listen. The last thing we find there are the two things. Everlasting Father, because he is part of the Trinity. He is part of the Godhead. He is from the beginning, no end, right? He was always there, always existing. Everlasting, he's going to be our dad. Everlasting, according to Romans, we have the right to call him Abba Father. He's our daddy. Arabic, Abba, daddy. And forever, he is going to be our dad. And listen, he is a dad who not only can supply your needs, he will make sure you have everything you need. And it's unlimited. Isn't that great? That's almost like him signing, giving you a blank check. But see, the only difference with that is what we would do with that blank check now is we would fill in all the things we want, and God says, excuse me, you don't need that. That challenges you. How many things in your life, think through, how many things do you have in your life, your home, your business, whatever it is, that you can really say, I really don't need that. But you worked very hard to go get it, didn't you? Listen, it's amazing when we see the difference between our need and our wants and our needs and what we have. And we spend so much time working for, acquiring. Listen, we got to survive. I get it. We got to have things. It's not comfortable not having a roof over your head. I get that. It's not comfortable. Poor Linda. Linda's still out. She said this morning her car wouldn't start. So it's nice to have a vehicle. When you turn it, it runs. But I want to tell you what, when all of our priorities live for this, he's the everlasting Father. And I know that he has promised that everything that I absolutely need, I will have, even now. I'll have his comfort. I'll have his joy. I'll have his strength. I will be able to handle. And again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's that verse that God says he will not tempt us beyond what we are able with him. You see, it's the with him that makes that verse okay. It's the with him that allows him to stretch the borders and the boundaries of our comfort zones. It's the with him that makes it all right. But the interesting thing about this verse in Isaiah, prophesied, the only thing that has happened is he was born. None of the rest of this has happened. This is the millennial reign. This is for future. It hasn't happened yet. The only thing we know, now listen, we know he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he hasn't come down yet as a king. He's coming down in the king and the ruling and reigning at the beginning of the millennial reign. All we know, and the only thing that has been fulfilled thus far, he was born a child. A son has been born to us. And for now, that's all we have. For now, guess what? That's all we need. You see, when you go into the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you begin to read the story of the birth of Christ, you find out that the nation of Israel, when they said the Messiah is here, what did they think? Isaiah 9:6. That's why they said in Jerusalem, he's coming into Jerusalem a week before he dies. And they're laying the palm branches down and they're Hosanna. Praising the King of Kings, praising who he is. Why? Messiah is here. Rome, you're gone. He has come to be the king, sit on the throne. He has come to be the mighty God. He has come to be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He has come to do that. And he said, no, I'm not. I came as a savior. I didn't come as a king yet. I didn't come to be revealed yet. Listen, we're living in the yet, aren't we? But yet we have a God who is supplying and giving everything that we need. And that's the important part. Because when we see this, he is the Prince of Peace. Listen, he is the only one who is going to bring that peace. He is the only one that's going to maintain that peace. They can do all they want in the hierarchy of our governments to create peace in the Middle East. It's not going to happen until he comes. No matter what. I mean, they may create a couple good days, years, maybe even a decade. But they're not going to give this peace until he comes. So the only one we have of this is that he was born a son. He was born a savior. How important that is that we understand that, because simply the purpose of the Savior. He came as a Savior. He did not come yet for the King of Kings. He did not, even though he was 100% God, 100% King of Kings. He didn't come yet for that. The purpose of the Savior. A Savior is born in Luke chapter 2. Again, we are there. We read it in verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Basically, a Savior is born. Listen, he wasn't just a baby born. He was a Savior born. He came on and took on the flesh and the bones of men so that he would die and shed the blood of a man so that he would pay the penalty of a God who said there has to be a payment for the sin that man has done. So he sent his son to do that. You and I would never make that. You and I, there's not a man ever born or procreated that would have the ability to do the sacrifice and share the blood. Why? Because we're born into sin. Listen, we are born at conception with that sin that takes us away from an eternal heaven. And you didn't even tell your mom and dad no yet. You will. But you didn't even say no yet. In fact, you didn't even cry yet. The doctor didn't even deliver you yet. You were in the mother's womb being formed. And you were born with a separation from God. Listen, see, that's where it starts. You see, when life begins at conception, I believe wholeheartedly. And when life begins at conception, so does that sinful nature. You see, that's what we got to deal with. It's not about how good you are, how bad you are. It's not about what family you belong to. The Jews had a problem with that. It's about being born. And now, that's why Mary was so important. That's why the virgin birth is so important. Because she was born not of a man. She did not have relation with a man to pass on that sinful nature. But as we saw when we studied through Mary, the Spirit of God came upon her. And she was found with child. That's why he's called the Son of God. He's not called the Son of Joseph. He's called the Son of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God came upon Mary and she was pregnant. She had a baby. Listen, can you explain that? Absolutely not. I can't explain that. All I know is the God who created the system knows how to run the system. Best thing I can tell you. He knows how to run the system. And so in all of that taking place, we now have this virgin birth. We now have a Savior being born. He came to seek and to save. What's the purpose? He came as a Savior. He came to seek and he came to save. He didn't come as the King of Kings. He didn't come to rule and ruin and take over. He came to seek and to save. Man, listen, that includes us. You see, this is when it starts getting into our deal, when the Jews and their system, they rejected him. They rejected this Messiah. They rejected nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Nothing good. They said, you're a carpenter's son. How can you be this God? How can you be this King of Kings you claim to be? No matter what miracles he did, no matter how he lived his life, their mind and heart was bent on the fact that he's a fraud. In fact, they said to him, the powers you have are from Beelzebub. They're from Satan. I'm going to tell you what, it takes an awful, awful strong big man with a backbone to tell God he's from Satan. But you know what happened next? God says, you're done. He began to speak in parables, Matthew chapter 12, study it through. He began to speak in parables from that moment on. Why? So they would not accept Christ in their rejection. He didn't want them to get it after that rejection. Listen, there's an unpardonable sin in our world today. And that unpardonable sin is rejection of Christ. If you reject him, according to scriptures, he just might not let you in. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But I thought his will was that all would be saved, that all would go, none would perish. That's what he wants. But you better not reject it. You see, he came to seek and he came to save. And in that process of his purpose, it's very important. The Savior is needed to seek the lost. Only could have been done by the Savior. And also, the Savior is needed to save the lost. You see, that's the purpose of him coming as a babe in a manger. He came so that he could be the Savior. He came so that he could seek those who need him. He came so that he could save the lost. Listen, if you're here today and you have Christ in your heart, you have accepted the fact that God died for you. He came to seek you. And he's found you. And now you've got the joy and the strength and the power of God in your life to be able to live in this crooked, perverse generation that we're living in. And you've got an eternal home waiting on you that only God can do. Man, that's a privilege and a blessing, isn't it? It is unbelievable. If we would live our life like that is going to happen, we may live a life a little bit more that he would want us to live. The third thing we find as we bring this to a close this morning, the provision of the Savior. And we find, for unto you, again, verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that verse is so profound. We've read it two or three times today. And in this verse being born, the fact of history, he was born. It doesn't matter what you erase from history. It doesn't matter what books you erase the truth from. It doesn't matter what you do with the true facts. He was born. And you ain't going to take that away from him. He was born on that day. Now, again, we look at Christmas and December 25th. And, you know, I don't want to burst bubbles here, but it wasn't that day. The shepherds were in their fields at night watching their sheep, right? Who does that in the snow? Who does that in this time of year? Literally speaking, their calendars were all different. They say it was sometime in August that this literally happened. It was sometime in the August season of the shepherds going into their fields and letting their flock feed in the fields. So we've taken on the 25th of December saying it's the night, it's the day. But you know what? Just as we were talking a little bit about Emily having a child in the middle of January, listen, the day that child comes doesn't change the fact that child's going to come. I knew I was going to do that sooner or later. That child is going to come. Listen, don't get upset about the day. The fact is he was born. The fact is he came. And so when he comes and when he is born, that is unbelievable in our hope, the fact he came. The fulfillment of prophecy in the city of David, that in of itself we understand going back again into the Old Testament, we realize that son of David in Micah 5:2, and this is an interesting verse, again, prophesied in the Old Testament. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee, unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." It is a promise. And that word there, that Ephrathah, the second part of that Bethlehem, could be a town. It was a town, but it's also used as a personal name. It means fruitful. Bethlehem, you are going to be fruitful. As small as you are, I mean, they're, you know, we're a little dot. They're even smaller, okay? They're a little dot. They'd had nothing great in their name. They had nothing great in their city that they were going to be known for except this. And that is all that they needed to be known for. They prophesied and they simply said there in this verse how true it is that one would come. And it would come to Bethlehem. You see, that fits in. That's why the Magi were all looking at the stars and saying, you know, in the Old Testament it prophesied that one would come and he would be born in Bethlehem. Listen, God said, I'm going to give you all the clues you need to find him. And folks, that hasn't changed. God has given us all that we need to find him today. We see his glory. We see who he is. We understand the cross, the crucifixion. We understand that we are sinners born. We understand that we need a Savior and a saving grace. Because it's through Christ only, as the Thomas and all the apostles asked him in John chapter 14, if we don't know where you go, how do we know the way? And Christ's response in chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, when all the other religions and all the other people say, but he's a loving God, he's going to take their devotion and their drive, he has to take that in consideration. No, he doesn't. He can do whatever he wants to. The only thing God said is, you've got to go through my son. If you don't believe that the Messiah came and died for you, you're not going to know the way to go to heaven. It's the only way that we have. There is no other option. There are no other gods. There are no plan Bs. Although we love to have B, C, D, and E. God says, listen, there's only one way. And he told his disciples that, as he tells us that all the time. And it's very clear that it was prophesied to be there. The foundation for eternity, unto you is born a Savior. How important that is in our life. Three things that we understand about this, and these are the verses that go with these. This is why he had to be a Savior, why he's our Savior. He takes away our sins, according to John 1:29. He takes away the sin. According to Matthew 2:2, he is the King of the Jews. And he will return as that King when he comes down and sets up his millennial reign. And he rules from the throne of David, which is the city of Jerusalem. He rules again. And he will come and he will make it right. He will be the peacemaker. He will be the king. Everyone. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the one that everybody will turn to for 1,000 years. You know what's great about that? You and I are going to come with him. How many of you want to sit in the Congress? Sit in Senate. You're going to come roll with them. That is a human way of saying you're going to be with them, okay? We are going to be a part of that. Somehow, some way, God's going to make that right. Don't understand it all, but I do know that we will be with him. Our Lord, or basically our Lord, our God. Sorry about that R there. John 20, 28. He is our Lord. He is our God. And as we see that, and what a time for my computer to upgrade. As we see that and understand that, bear with me one second. We need to realize that there is a purpose and a plan that God has given. And in that purpose and plan, we need to also understand that he has made a way and he is using the things of this world so that you and I will be able to get to heaven where he so desires us to be. Amen. And in that process, come on, work with me. There you go. In our process, we need to realize that God above all gods is still working his plan. He's still sustaining that plan. And those three truths that come out of why he is called a Savior is where we find our hope. It's where we're able to get up in the morning in a day that really stinks. It gives us the phone calls that come in to destruct our foundation of our faith and still be able to say, but yet my God loves me. It's all the things that we face in this world comes to this understanding. He took away my sin. He's the King of the Jews. He's my God. Therefore, I'm okay. And I will be okay. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Why the nativity? I think for you and I to understand this nativity, I think we have now looked at all the important individuals of the nativity. We've seen the angel, we've seen Joseph, we've seen Mary, we see the babe Christ. We understand why he came. And my question to you this morning is, how do we now live in a world that speaks the opposite that we believe? How do we now continue in the truth of what we know to be true? You see, it all starts with our understanding of, first of all, I'm a sinner and I need saved by grace. I am a nobody in this God's plan of redemption. Only by his saving, loving grace has he allowed me to be a part. And once that is solidified in your life, once you know that you are a child of God, listen, he says, no, go be joyful. Go live. I'm not asking you to agree with all the crazy things of the world. I'm not asking you to, listen, we don't have to fight to prove God. He's well able to do that on his own. All we need to do is, all he asks is for us to have faithful obedience. For you and I to have faithful obedience. For you and I to be able to walk the walk. For you and I to be able to speak the truth and then live the truth. For people to see a difference in our life. The only way that happens is by the Spirit of God in your life. Because you're not going to do it alone. You're not going to live the life that he died for by you making all the choices. By you living how you want to live. It's that power of God in us. It's that Holy Spirit that he taught to the disciples in John chapter 14. I must go so that he can come. And when he comes, he's going to bring back to your remembrance the things that I've taught you. That's how we know. That's how we live it. And there's not one of us alive today that are going to be able to live that life apart from Christ. Apart from his Spirit in us. I know I'm in a Baptist church and you can't be too excited about the Holy Spirit. Well, you're wrong. I can be as excited about the Holy Spirit as I want to be. That doesn't mean I'm going to roll down the aisle. That just means I am grateful for the privilege of having the Spirit of God in me. And by his grace, by his mercy, I'm going to be joyful whether you agree or not. It's just going to be there. Because we, for so long, have taken the Spirit of God and stifled him with our man-made rules and regulations. With our way of saying, this is how we worship God. You don't worship our way, you can't be a part of us. How wrong? How long will God tarry when his children don't know how to get along? How long? We think, how long will God tarry with the evilness of our world? Listen, it didn't take him by surprise. He knew all about it. What is going to make the stage? What is going to make the difference is how his children respond. And how are we going to be affected in a world out there that needs to know hope when we can't get along in here? Listen, the only way that works is by that Spirit of God. And when we have that Spirit of God in our life, I'm telling you what's exciting. It's joyful. It allows you to do. It allows you to get up. It allows you to face the things of this world and say, but my God said, in 1 John 5, he who started a work in you is faithful to complete it to the end. Listen, God ain't giving up on anybody. You and I give up on people, don't we? God ain't giving up on anybody. You can pray, you can witness, you can share Christ, and don't give up, because God says, I'm not giving up. No matter what world we live in, we don't give up. No matter what comes against us, man, we don't give up. Keep sharing the truth. Keep living the life. And you ought to be just as joyful on Christmas morning when you have all those gifts and woo, wah, and all that good stuff. You ought to be just as excited every Monday morning when you wake up and like, I got to go to work. What happened to your joy? Christ didn't leave you. What happened to all the, Christ didn't leave. We need to understand why he became a Savior was to seek and to save. He's given that responsibility to you and I, seek and to save. We can't seek them and know who needs it. We seek them because we're faithfully obedient, sharing the redemptive story. But it would have been much easier if God just put a check on everybody's head. Oh, I got to go get that one. He's checked. God didn't do that for us. Therefore, we need to be out there. We need to be walking the walk, talking the talk. We need to be sharing Christ instead of the weather, instead of the game scores, instead of everything else we talk about. Why? Because he came as a Savior to seek you. And he found you and he saved you. Play it forward. Just play it forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are today. And Father, as we study this through this morning, what a tremendous understanding that we have and through your word about how important it is that we understand. And God, may we take that message and may we continue just to share it. Father, we need a frontline ministry. We need to be out there talking and we need to be out there with those who are needing of hope. Our world is falling and crumbling apart. And yet we have the greatest hope within us. And God, I pray that you encourage us. This Christmas season is a season of hope. You came as a babe. And not long after, you died as a Savior. And God, I pray as we take that to heart today that there may be some within our midst today that does not know you, have not given their life to you. God, today I pray that they understand it in a way that you open their eyes, open their heart and mind. May they come to know you today in a personal way. And God, all of us, may it encourage us and strengthen us to have that joy, to share Christ to everyone we can. And God, I pray that you continue to use each of us where you find us. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. This morning.